possibility is real, more so than it was, I would say, than a couple weeks ago, because there is strong interest in him. The Guardians don't really have a good sense of their ability to extend him long term. The Jays, we know that they were talking with the Guardians because they've already consummated one trade with the Guardians today, and potentially they could still find a way maybe to add Kwan. The Padres are the other team that I believe we have to watch here. The Padres have been buying and selling, so many possibilities in play for San Diego right now, Lauren. So I do think today, if Kwan is moved, the Padres are best positioned to make that trade.
Ooh, John Morosi heating things up there, talking about
Stephen
Kwan.
He was on our show last week, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That was courtesy of MLB Network.
Thank you. He, you know, talking about the situation right now where Kwan could get moved. I'll be honest, anytime you move someone away from the American League and as far away as possible, it makes any trade a little bit easier, especially when you're making a deal with the Tigers like they did today with Paul Sewald going there, and we're waiting for a player to be named later on that.
I mentioned the
Padres. I'm just not a fan of trading with the AL Central. I don't care who you are.
I mentioned the Padres earlier.
Yeah, you did.
If you could get the number three prospect in all of minor league baseball, and he's a shortstop, and he hits for some pop, and he's in high A ball now, so there's still a long way to go, what would you think of that?
I would think that they traded an everyday guy who can contribute to the lineup every day, who came out and won three gold gloves to start his career, for potential. It's a little dismore. I would need more.
Okay.
Just because a guy is listed as a number three guy as a prospect, I mean,
I would bet the Padres wouldn't part with him in a deal for Stephen Kwan.
Okay. Would you? I mean, you wouldn't do that straight up. A one-for-one deal?
I'd think about it. And I don't want to trade him. But if I could get the number three prospect in all of minor league baseball and he's a shortstop, and we've seen what they've trotted out at shortstop this year,
all of a sudden
you have your middle of the infield for the next 7 years once they get here.
I trust two guys in the lineup right now to get hits when they step up to the plate.
I was assuming Pisano would make it. We'll find out. Jim Clark, AA Rubber Ducks play-by-play man, is going to join us in 16 minutes.
Mayor.
So, Jeff, if you were looking for that number three overall prospect from the Padres, he's off the table. He is going to the Athletics. The A's receiving shortstop, Leodolis Deveras, number three overall prospect in baseball, along with three pitchers from San Diego for Mason Miller and J.P. Spears. This is according to Jeff Passan.
There you go. They get the closer they want in Mason Miller and Spears, so they get another arm.
Wait, how many players are in that deal?
And they've just given up the number three prospect in baseball, although they have an all-star shortstop in Oakland right now. It's not Oakland. Sorry, Sacramento. Or not even there.
No.
The Athletics.
That's right. Well, they're playing towards a dome. So, right? I mean, they have washed away.
Isn't that interesting?
Anything they do in Sacramento,
we're talking about
doesn't
this
worry
dude,
about that.
Yeah. And Meredith jumps in, just got traded.
That's the kind of day it's going to be, Jeff.
Way to be, MK.
They read your mind.
MK, right there on the ball.
All right, plenty of folks want to chime in on what's going on with the Guardians right now. Let's go to Cincinnati for Justin. Hey, Justin, how are you?
Hi, Justin.
Hey, gentlemen. Nice to speak to you. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, too.
Thanks for calling.
I wanted to respond to Jeff's comments about the horses, right? You said, do we have the horses to win this year?
What do you think?
I agree with you that we do not. But I think the most disconcerting part of this process is if it's Pisano, if it was this guy from the Padres who just got traded, who's off the table. As soon as those horses prove themselves, you can't pay fair market value for them once they reach their prime. And then we just repeat the process again. So that's the most disillusioning part of being a Guardians fan is long term, once these guys can achieve their potential, you can't keep them.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, but here's the weird part. When you go back to 2016, this team, I guess it's how you define success, right? And I think we all would define success as winning the World Series. Well, we just haven't seen that yet. But the opportunities have been there for this franchise. I mean,
they lost baseball games and they lost the World Series because of it. You know, 97, 2016, you're right there. Would that have changed the narrative? To me, that shouldn't change the narrative.
I mean,
no. And I can't disagree with the success that Antonetti has had in evaluating talent, young talent. I would say that the the biggest gap is we can develop pitchers, but where's the batting average? And that's what Kwan has. And if Jose didn't take a hometown discount, he wouldn't be here either.
No, that's true, too. I agree with that. Justin, thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go.
And it's hard to argue with that, Andy.
Yeah.
It really is.
A lot of folks listening on the Odyssey app all around the country. We just heard from Cincinnati. Let's go to Chicago now. Chris, how are you, Chris?
From Bath.
Guys, long time no talk, you guys.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. All right, so I'm not surprised with the Bieber move, but, it, you know, it takes me back to when the Indians back in the 90s were awesome, where they traded Kenny Lofton before the 97 season. And then what do? They re-signed him as a free agent when the season ended, and they still had David Justice from that trade. So, you know, in the good old days, maybe they would have been trading him now and then going to try to re-sign him at the end whenever the season was over. But obviously those days are gone. But here's my question.
Can never have enough Tristan Thompsons. Let me just say that. Go ahead. Yes.
That's right. Well, that's right. So the – wow, Andy, you threw me for a loop on
Sorry,
that.
Didn't mean to do that. I could have said Chris Chelios. That would have helped you better, but keep going.
That is true. All right, so the real quick question is, so the market size of Cleveland hasn't changed since the 90s. What is the real difference? And I know the Browns were gone, but the sellout streak for the Indians was started before the Browns left and continued after the Browns came back. So what is the real reason that, you know, the spending is down so much with the current owners? Because it's the same fan base. I mean, Cleveland's Northeast Ohio's population is still in the top 20 in the U.S. if you look at TV markets. So, I don't know. I just, has anybody ever answered that question? Like, really, what has happened?
Let me give you one thought on it, Chris. Okay. Here's one. And these are facts. They're not excuses. Our market is the smallest market in the country to have baseball, basketball, and the NFL.
Can I give you another one too?
Is that corporate? All I'm saying there, Chris, corporate dollars may be being spread thin. I don't know. Maybe that's something.
I also have we become smaller as a market? I think we have since 90, haven't we?
Yeah,
I'm assuming we are. Let me throw one other thing at you too. Like it used to bother me, especially the last couple of years when I've looked at team payroll. In baseball, the Guardians were at the bottom. They were like 29, 30 all the time, at least. And I'm not saying that being 24th is anything to celebrate, and you're still a team that's still under 100 million. You're the first team out under 100. Milwaukee even spends 112 million. This, according to Spotrac. So they have come off of the bottom, but maybe I know fans don't think it's enough. I get that.
Yeah. And real quick before I go. So Pittsburgh is a much smaller market than Cleveland, and they have the NHL, which could be equivalent as the NBA. I mean, so they have three teams, right? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I hear you. It's frustrating.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thank you, Chris.
Plenty of things to think about that one. All right. Let's go Sean to Houston. Sean, how are you?
I'm pretty sad. I just think about the number three pitching prospect in baseball for Mason Miller.
Hitting prospect.
Yeah.
Number three overall prospect in baseball.
Overall prospect in baseball. Class A is better than Mason Miller. And to think what we could have packaged with Kwan, and now I almost just want to package Cade Smith to him. Because I don't even want to see us in the playoffs right now. We're not going to the World Series, in my opinion. So I'm just.
So you'd be mad if they made the playoffs this year. You wouldn't be happy with it?
That's not what he meant.
I'm asking. I'm just asking.
I'd be happy, but I would rather trade off two top assets and get AAA guys and then be able to have that in the next 5 years. Because Kwan's not going to sign. We're not going to sign him to a $150 million contract, right?
No, but you could have him for the next two seasons if you want. He's there. He's arbitration eligible next 2 years.
Correct. But at that point, we're Guardians. I'm a realistic fan. Even if he's arbitration eligible, we're going to trade him. So we're not we don't let players walk. I don't want to go through another first round exit or wild card win to get smoked in the second round. I want to get some assets, build a solid young to middle aged team, and see us 3 years in a row compete. I'd rather do that. And now I'm just sitting here going, I don't know what we're going to do. And these prospects we could have had that I wouldn't have wanted the guy from San Diego. He's 19 years old. He's just not going to see the league for 2 to 3 years. I want somebody in AAA, but I really hope they can pull something out. I like what they did with Bieber. I think the guy's going to be up next year. It's exciting. even if he's a third, fourth end starter with our pitching.
So, coaching. Sean, you're good with trading Kwan, right?
Just trying to. I'm 100% good with trading.
Okay, and then what kind of return do you want? Just give me quickly. What kind of return? You don't have to give me any names. Just give me position or where they need to be in the organization.
I want a shortstop, a right field guy that can hit 20 home runs and bat 260.
There you go. All right, Sean, thank you. Appreciate it. Checking in from Houston. All over the place. Let's get a little bit closer to home. Let's go to Jeff in North Olmsted. Hey, Jeff.
Jeffrey.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon to you.
Close enough.
So I have a question for you guys, and I want an honest answer from you. After the season ended last year, would you have expected the Indians, Guardians, whatever you want to call them, to be buyers or sellers?
Buyers.
Let's start there.
Neutral.
Buyers, Jeff.
Oh, wait, you're saying you...
You're neutral, Andy?
Oh, I don't expect them to do anything. I'm not lying. I was stunned when they traded Naylor. I expect, hey, let's try to do this again with what we've got. To be honest, I was really surprised by the fact that they spent the money they did on Santana.
Okay, so Jeff, I did like that you said buyers. And here's my deal. I didn't mind trading guys like Jimenez. You want to get $80 million off the books, great. But we sure could use 60 RBIs and a 290 batting average with Josh Naylor in the middle of our lineup right now. And here is why this is frustrating as a fan. And, Jeff, I kind of chuckled when you were like, turn it off, don't watch. Well, we're Cleveland fans. That's all we do is complain. But here's the rationale of this for me is at the end of the day, last season was such a fun season to watch. And I was calling you guys all last year and we were glum about the Browns and all this stuff. And I kept on saying, come on, ride the tribe. We're onto something special here. Seasons like that, you remember, right? And as an ownership, well, fans, you want to see the ownership group kind of put into that slightly. You don't need to go all in, right? But keep moving forward. The problem with this, and it's the definition of insanity. We do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. Well, the problem with prospects is prospects aren't proven until they are, right? Until they show you, hey, this is what, you know, what we drafted them for. My biggest deal with Kwan is if you decide to trade Mr. Kwan, you need to get a haul for him.
And yes, you do.
Be aggressive with it. And here's why. Not many times, and specifically since the Kenny Lofton days, have we seen a prominent leadoff hitter, right? He might not have the speed and all the intangibles of Kenny, but he's a pretty solid leadoff hitter. Those don't come around every day in the majors, right? So if you're going to do this again, you need to get a haul back in return.
That's correct.
But for me, we're close enough. Look how close the American League is right now. There's no dominant team that you're saying, oh, they're going to get to the ALCS and they're going to run away with this in the World Series. There's nobody. Yankees, Judges hurt now, right? And then you've got a sleeper team like Toronto that's come out of nowhere, although we would have expected it with the way their roster was built. Eventually, they were going to hit stride. But there's no dominant team in the AL, and we have beaten these teams like the Astros that are at the top of their division. I mean, the Angels are two games under, so it's not like this is some, you know, wash this year for the playoffs. It's anything can happen if you get in, and all we want is that competitive fire, right?
Jeff,
every feel this every single year.
100% correct. Jeff in North Olmsted, thank you for checking in. We're up against it. Appreciate the phone call. If you want to hop in, 216-474-0092. It is trade deadline day. Everybody wants to get in on the conversation. What's going to happen to Stephen Kwan? Let's find out maybe a little bit bigger perspective, especially about how it might affect the organization. Jim Clark, Akron Rubber Ducks, the voice of the team, he's going to join us next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
And the names we're hearing so far are young guys who might end up in the minor leagues. Cal Steven, pitcher coming back from Toronto in exchange for Shane Bieber. Jeff Passan, who writes for ESPN on Twitter, wrote this about Steven. Expected to go to Cleveland in this Bieber deal. One of the biggest pop-up prospects of 2025. While his fastball tops out in the mid-90s, he has the sort of pitch ability that Cleveland has developed with extreme success. Interesting. Gentleman who I'm sure will be calling his games in the very near future joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. He is in season number 32. Is that correct, Jim Clark, of calling AA baseball?
32 or 33, one of the two. I'm not really sure.
Well, you should keep track of that. You're the guy.
know what? Jeff should keep track of that. You just keep doing the great job that you're doing.
He's Jim Clark of the Akron Rubber Ducks. Hello, Jim.
How you guys doing today?
It's a busy day. It's going right now. You saw Shane Bieber on Tuesday. You called his game, pitching, a noon start on Tuesday. And as you said, might be his last pitch ever for the Guardian organization. How'd he look to you?
He looked like Shane Bieber. He gave up a homer, but so what? I mean, but he looked pain-free to me, nice and easy as always. Throw strikes. Looked like he was ready. Maybe one more rehab start. I was thinking maybe coming back here on Sunday, but that's all changed now. But I thought he looked like he was ready to start helping somebody win games.
Mm. What was the level of scouts at that game? Because Jeff and I were sitting around while we were keeping an eye on what was happening. Were there a ton of scouts at the game? I mean, did it feel like a showcase for him to go find another team if they could make a deal?
They were there. I know the Cubs had high interest. They were there. There were scouts there. And, when you're looking for pitching and you know what Cleveland does and where they're at right now, they were locked in on Bieber. And of all guys, Mark Shapiro, first thing I thought right away, when Mark was with us, he would come down all the time to the ballpark. And it was during Verlander's injured periods when he had so many of those. Mm-hmm. And I asked Mark, I go, is Verlander done? He goes, not even close. He goes, the time off he has had because of injury, when he comes back, he'll be stronger than ever. He's won two Cy Youngs since then. Mark seeing Shane Bieber with all this downtime, I'm sure thinking he knows what he's getting, is coming back pretty much stronger than ever again. Don't be surprised if Shane Bieber at some point again wins another Cy Young.
Jim, my thought was if Shane had said, I'm picking up my option for next year, he wouldn't have been traded. What's your gut tell you, knowing the organization and seeing what he did the other day?
You very well could be right. He was happy here. He's familiar here. He grew up here. But, now they could have won the pennant today by picking up Shane Bieber. Could be their ticket to the series, possibly. Who knows?
All right, so what do you hear? Are you hearing anything? I mean, it's so quick and early, but the guy they picked up, Cal Stevens, are you hearing anything about him? Or have you had a chance to even see him this year? Although he hasn't been in Double A that long, so yeah.
One start in New Hampshire.
Right.
He had Bieber-like numbers this year. 99 strikeouts, 18 walks, great fastball, a high riser, has a right shoulder impingement right now. But I would think that when he's ready to come back, he would come to Akron. He's made his transgression through the organization in Toronto, getting to New Hampshire, their AA affiliate. I would think that when he's ready, it was only a 7-day IL at first. Hopefully it stays that way. But you know that with Cleveland now getting him, they're going to be awfully careful for he's on the mound again.
Jim Clark joining us. He is the play-by-play man for the Akron Rubber Ducks. That means you are looking at what might be, Jim, the double play combination of the future for this team. Let's start with the second baseman, Travis Bazzana. He's been back for about 10 games now. How's he look to you?
He looks good. I like the fact that he still drives the ball the other way. He's got very good power to the opposite field. Not that big a kid, but he is a strong kid. And what I was looking to see right away was when he was playing second base because of the injury he had, the obliques, he went to his right and backhanded the ball, made that strong throw across the body to first. I was thinking, well, if he's got any issues with the obliques, that would have showed it, but he's looked fine there. Had three doubles, third game back.
Right.
He's a cocky kid in a good way. He's a great kid. And hopefully he can not get this Delauder injury bug thing and stay healthy, because he's going to be a big-time ball player, I think.
You do like him. You see things in him that make you think, okay, I understand why he was number one.
He makes everybody better around him. He's a team guy, and he wants to win. He wants to be the best second baseman there is. He wants to be that guy.
Jim, let me ask you this. We kind of know what it's like in the bigs, just because we've seen it, what trade deadline day is like. What's trade deadline day like when you're sitting in a Double-A clubhouse? Is it opportunity day, or is it guys looking around going, huh, I wonder how I'm getting traded today?
I think you're right about the opportunity day, because it shakes down in so many ways when a guy gets moved and maybe an infielder's moved and you're thinking, okay, they moved an infielder. I'm an infielder. Maybe I go to the next level now. Mm-hmm. And the way that Cleveland does it, they grab prospects. I'm sure they're all thinking that right now. Now, you know, the Kwan thing's hanging out there, and I hope it doesn't happen, but what do I know? Yeah, it's I think you're right. It's an opportunity day for these guys.
Jim, tell me about the other guy on the other side of the double play combination from Travis Bazzana and Helen Now. He's the number four prospect in the organization. He's that name that we've seen floating around out there, but I don't think anybody's giving him a whole lot of look and thought right now. What type of a shortstop is he, knowing that we have Rocchio here, Gabe Arias here, guys who are stacked up maybe ahead of him, but is this the type of guy who could blow past them and become the guy in Cleveland?
I think we'll know more later this year and next year, because he missed so much this season because of that right shoulder strain in spring training. And we didn't get him until, late, early June, like June 6th, I think. And, you like what he can do. He came out hot. He's going through the periods now, like all these young guys go through. They'll struggle for a week or so, then they'll come back and they'll hit again. But, you know, hits from both sides of the plate. And you like that. He's got decent range. He's got a good arm. Could he be another Rocchio? I'd like to see more of him before I make that judgment, but I like what I've seen thus far.
Jim Clark's joining us. He is the play-by-play man for the Akron Rubber Ducks. Catching has been an issue here. Hitters, guys who are hitting at catcher don't seem to be playing in Cleveland right now, although I will say Bo Naylor's swing is looking better. Cooper Engel is the catcher in Double-A right now. He's second on the team in home runs and runs batted in. He's what, Jim, 22 years old, something like that. He's a young guy. He's not real big, 5'8", 190. What do you think of Cooper Engel behind the plate as a big league prospect?
Well, you know, he does well with his staff. If you're a catcher in Cleveland's chain, you got to handle pitchers well, and he does that. And as far as the other side of it, you know, he walks a ton. He has 60 walks right now, which is among the league leaders. He's a doubles machine with 25 as well. Wow. His first struggle period is really right now. He's been around 280, 290, but right now he's gone through a string of about, he's been 6-35 right now, which is not him. He hasn't had that really kind of a slump at all this season, but 2 hits on Tuesday, 3 more yesterday. I would think his days at Akron could be numbered. We got him last year in August, so he had August and September in Double-A. He had one brief period out this year, but not very long. So he's been in Double-A this year for, four months almost. Mm-hmm. I would think Triple-A is around the corner. And, you know, if he continues to do what he's doing, he could be a big league catcher that hits, which we haven't seen since, shades of Yan Gomes maybe. Mm. But I like Engel. You'll love him at the plate. He adjusts during at bats, a good maturity, and he's got a great eye at the plate, really a good eye at the plate.
Seasoning, is that what you're saying? That's all this kid needs is a little bit more seasoning?
I would think he needs a half a year AAA, if not more. Get those at bats are so huge. That's why Bazzano's missed out so much, missing at bats at AA this year. But give Engel a bat to AAA now for a good 3 months and just see where you can, and you really just see where you stand after that.
Jim, there's a guy in the system who I think just left the Rubber Ducks, Khalil Watson, who they picked up from Miami, who was a first-round pick, 16th overall, was a shortstop, been playing in the outfield, and I just keep wondering, okay, is this guy going to pop? Is he gonna be a player in this organization, or is he a first-round pick that Miami gave up on for a reason?
You know, he was settling in when he made the move to AAA. He's learned the outfield very well. He's got pop in the bat. He runs well. And, again, you know, maybe an Angel with more power at some point. A Martinez with more power. But, you know, AAA has been for outfielders. They all go up there and hit. And then they go to Cleveland and they don't, which no one can figure out. But Angel's got talent. I would say he's a prospect. You know, he runs well. He's got good power. He plays well in the outfield. He needs more time as well. He needs ABs as well. That's the biggest thing is at-bats, I think, with all these guys.
All right. Well, I can't wait to see the way the rest of the day shakes out. I do like the fact that we both talked about this as being opportunity day for those guys in Double-A. I mean, this is the day I think those guys are more – they're just looking to see what the names are above them to see if they can find a path, you know?
How do they sell the fans on trading Kwan if they do it?
That's a you have that's that the answer? Question of the day right there.
We could do another 3 hours on that because if I don't think it's going to go over real well.
I don't think so either. He's under control for what, through 28?
Yeah,
two more years.
Man, I want to hang on to Kwan and let Manzardo develop and see what you got.
Fingers crossed, Jim. We'll see what happens today. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Great to have you with us. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you.
Hey, thank you so much, guys. Take care now.
All right, we'll talk to
Jim
you soon.
Jim Clark, play-by-play voice of the Akron Rubber Ducks, joining us on the Fan Hotline. And Jim always has great insight into what's going on with the guys coming up through the system.
What do you think about what he said about Bizzano?
Likes him. Likes him a lot. Likes him an awful lot.
I
don't want to spin the wheel of regret, as you and Menigan, if you were here, would give me grief about. But I keep looking at Travis, and my fingers are crossed. Man, I hope he develops. I just keep looking at Nick Kurtz hitting the ball out like crazy for Oakland and thinking, the Athletics, excuse me, and just think, okay, hope you didn't pick a guy who doesn't develop. I'm not going to say you picked the wrong guy, but there are guys who have already developed out of that draft class, and I just hope that on his time frame, that Travis Bizzano does the same thing.
Yeah, and then I think you also got folks excited about Cooper Engle. I mean, the kid's he's an all-star every time he steps out on the field for any team.
Here's the thing. Could you go with Bo Naylor and Cooper Engle next year as your two catchers?
Unless they feel like that backup catcher spot has to be a veteran who can lead in the clubhouse, Austin Hedges is invaluable in
that role.
But you're not keeping three catchers?
No.
Are you?
No.
No, I just want to make sure. All right, we are going to keep moving along here, too. It is trade deadline day in Major League Baseball. And, you know, just as Jim brought up 2 seconds ago, you know, Stephen Kwan's name is floating out there, and we are just wondering what is going to happen. And will Kwan stay? Will Kwan go? I don't know. We don't know at this point. What's the value they want back on him? He has a contract that is just very Guardians-friendly right now. It's the kind of contract I think as fans we've been used to. Look, like, okay, are we going to hang on to the superstars? Are the Lindors going to stay? Probably not. But if you've got a young player who is, you know, producing at the major league level and they still have control, especially for the next 2 years, he just doesn't seem like the type of contract that they would move based on the productivity. And if they let Kwan go and don't bring back a giant haul, it just makes you wonder, what are they doing and what have they been selling us on for years, right? That he has the contract that we have all wanted,
you know,
at least the organization wants.
I'm hesitant to make judgments on a move that hasn't happened yet. The thought that his name is out there is really, you know, it's got people on one side of this thing or another. I'm hesitant to do it. Even if they trade him, I want to see what they might get back before I say you can't trade that guy. And I don't want to trade him.
I don't either. All right, so let's roll on. We'll see what happens with Kwan. We'll see what happens with the rest of the team. I want to ask you when we come back here in a second, too, about Santana. Why is his name just kind of evaporated that we haven't heard a whole lot about Carlos Santana?
He's not hitting real well.
But you don't think anybody else would want to, and you don't think they'd want to try to, I don't know. Well, let's answer that question. Yeah. Also want to talk about the Browns, too. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps. 92.3 The Fan. Darryl Ryder is going to join us in less than 20 minutes. We'll find out what's going on with the Browns. They have the day off today. Hall of Fame game tonight? Man, are you kidding? Are you ready for some football? You be locked in? No baseball tonight, right? No Guardians today, so.
No Guardians. There is baseball today, though, around Major League Baseball, and there's something that will resemble a scrimmage today at the Hall of Fame game.
Why would you belittle top-notch athletes going out there and play? Does it have to be?
It will resemble a scrimmage.
As the NFL would like to remind you, and ticket pricing will tell you, it is a preseason game. It is not an exhibition, nor is it a scrimmage. It is a preseason game. Please repeat after me. It is a preseason game.
Without question, like a scrimmage.
Tom isn't better. Hi, Tom.
Thomas.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah. So Kwan, here's my thing on Kwan. The only reason why his name is surfacing is I don't think they were able to get a long-term deal with this guy. Because, you know, usually the Guardians like to talk to these guys before they're eligible for arbitration and try to throw like a 4 or 5 year contract, you know, that's probably half worth their value if they were to go to free agency. So I think that they could strike a deal with them, and therefore he's not going to sign. He's going to wait until you know, free agency. So I think that's why they're dealing, or why would they? Because this is a typical Cleveland thing, right? I mean, they keep people on the cheap. They got them covered for the next 2 years. So why would he even be involved in any type of trade talks? It has to be a contract issue.
One thing, Tom, I mentioned this earlier. Ethan Sands at Cleveland.com wrote a story about Kwan, has a quote from Steven where he said he would love to be, he'd be open to extension talks here. He said he'd love to. He loves it here. I love everything about this place. If they gave me the opportunity, I would love to.
Who, Kwan said that?
Yeah.
It's about the money. Come on. I'm just telling you what he said.
I'm telling you what he said. If they haven't opened negotiations with him yet, they have a reason. Don't ask me what it is. Do they not want to pay him? Maybe.
I think it's the latter.
Maybe.
Because usually why would he be in those conversations? He's got two more years left. He should even be
well,
in
there's two ways. So here, and I always warn people about this too, the conversation. Is there really a conversation, or is there an agent saying to someone, and sometimes it's an agent, sometimes it's a team, is it other teams pushing the story to say, oh, is Kwan available? Ooh, we're interested in Kwan. Now, all of a sudden, let's just say you're Akron, never mind. Give me a major league. Say you're Philly. You're Philly, and you really want Stephen Kwan, and you're trying to figure out a deal. What's to stop you from saying to some media guy, man, we really like Stephen Kwan. We want to get him. So now all of a sudden it's Phillies are super interested in Stephen Kwan. Well, the Guardians may not have any say in that. Or Phillies wanting to talk about Stephen. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just don't know. You don't know where the juice in the story is coming from.
Sure. It could be that. But remember, all of the players that they've signed over the years, at least the decent players, the above average players, mm-hmm. They always were able to strike a deal before arbitration season hits.
Yeah, and they hate, by the way, the organization hates arbitration. And do you know why they hate it? They don't want to have to go into a room and have to say, this is what's bad about your game. That was a simple, basic Mark Shapiro philosophy. Like, they don't ever want to go. And now, it was Trevor Bauer. Trevor Bauer is like the first guy to go to arbitration in years. And Trevor was disappointed because the guys that went in there to tell him how bad he was weren't even from the Guardians, right? He faced guys from lawyers from Major League Baseball. So even arbitration doesn't play into the story that we think it is.
Right. But that's my take on it. Yeah. That's what I think.
All right, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
I think it's a contract.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Matt is in a car traveling around Northeast Ohio. Hope you're safe. Roads were pretty slick this morning. So, Matt, how are you?
Hi, Matt.
Just raining. It's wet, you know.
Yeah.
But, guys, in all seriousness, and I know, you know, I've just gotten into this and just have been frustrated for years, this situation. But, like why don't we ever hear from the ownership? It's ridiculous. Everyone, Haslam always trots out all the time. You got Gilbert cut, even though, you know, I know his poor guy's had some health issues, but I swear even he makes more public appearances than the Dolans.
All I can tell you is that Paul has come and sat down in the studio with us and talked to us. He's the only owner that's ever done that. Right, Jeff? I don't know of any other owner correct. In town that's ever come into the studio to talk. I don't know if maybe on another show, but I mean, Paul doesn't – it's not like Paul's hiding from stuff either. I think the difference between Paul and other owners is Paul wants his people to do their job. I mean, what do you want to hear from him? What do you want to hear?
I don't know. Well, first off, he kind of hung his front office guys and the rest of the organization out to dry, not making any, correct me if I'm wrong, has he made any statements on this whole Class A situation? Or I don't know if they're allowed to, but
they've said all they can say. At least this is what they're telling us. I mean, look, if they want to say stuff and get in legal trouble, or, I mean, they're more than welcome to. It wouldn't make any sense to do that, especially from a family of lawyers. They know better.
I know. It's just, it's bad optics. And I know, Phelps, you're going to go off about, you know, being a fan of the Yankees or just go be a fan of the Yankees. But it's like you need.
The owner speaking publicly is not real high on my wish list.
I just don't understand why this team can't have $130 million payroll. How are the Tigers able to blow it up and completely start competing again and have a higher payroll than us in a shorter span than we've even had this whole quote unquote competitive window? I'm sick of competitive windows. I'd rather have one World Series over a 10-year stretch of competitive windows. And it's funny. I know you don't.
It's funny you say that.
You don't need a World Series, Phelps. It's okay. It's only been 76 years.
All right, Matt. Thank you very much. I got an email.
Okay.
Tom sent me this email. He said, "I'm tuned in now, and Matt, here you go. I'm chuckling that you have another day of callers blaming the Dolans. I love how they have built this team over the last 30 years and wouldn't trade one World Series for 29 years of bad baseball." And Matt just said he would. One World Series, and we can have another decade of crap rather than have, you know, like 25 years of good baseball. That's great if that's the kind of sports fan you want to be. I'm not going to back down from saying I would rather have 20 years of good baseball than one World Series title and 10 years of crap. Sorry. That's just the way I watch sports. You watch sports your way. It's really not worth arguing about. You can do it your way. I'll do it my way. There you go, Tom.
All I can say,
you were on the money, my friend. You were on the money, Tom.
If I could write the book on how to be the perfect owner in a city, you could just put it on the Jacobs. Like, they could not have asked for a better scenario in the history of sports. Think about that.
They hit a perfect storm.
And by the way, they were the team that talked about, they were the ownership group that was ready to move, right? Am I wrong? Did they not own the team when the team was talking about going down to, you had said New Orleans at one point, and then Tampa.
It was New Orleans and Tampa.
Again, if the Gateway Project doesn't pass, and I hate to talk about old stuff here, but I will. If the Gateway Project doesn't pass by 2%, you're not looking at a new stadium. And then once that new stadium came into play, it changed everything.
And then the Browns left.
The Browns leave. A new stadium. What else did you get? By the way, your payroll wasn't crazy.
You got an interesting concept to sign players before their arbitration years to long-term contracts.
Right.
Which didn't completely work. It did, but it didn't. You know, I mean, you signed Dennis Cook. You signed Dave Otto. You signed a lot of guys to some, you know, multi-year deals that didn't quite work, but
those teams weren't exactly the highest payroll teams in baseball either during the 90s.
But you were right. It worked. And John Hart did a great job and Dan O'Dowd, of accumulating young talent, and it blossomed. It was wonderful.
It couldn't have happened at a better time. And then you had the restructuring of the leagues. So now the opportunity to be in the playoffs every year was clearly right there in front of your face.
Well, and every year. And that was a campaign from the baseball side of the Guardians rather than the business side, because the business side thought, are you kidding? And as they should, we want the Yankees and the Red Sox in here all the time. And the baseball people said, are you kidding? We want the Royals and the Twins.
Because we want to win.
Right. Better chance to compete against those teams. They were right.
You couldn't have asked for a more perfect scenario than when the Jacobs
won. And I'm sincere when I say it. Just because, you know, you can watch a game in a team your way, and I can watch it my way, and Andy can watch it his way, doesn't mean any of us are right or wrong. But, you know, if you'd rather have one World Series championship, let's go Scottie Scheffler. Hey, great, I'm going to celebrate that for about 5 minutes, then I got to go do it again next year. Or in Scottie's case, next week.
True. This is interesting. Let's go to Nelson and Avon Lake. Hi, Nelson.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hi, Nelson.
We're good.
You know, it fascinates me to listen to our fans, right? Because, listen, like, would I love for the Guardians to spend a ton of money and win the World Series, you know, like the Yankees or the Dodgers? Yeah, absolutely. Who wouldn't, right? Like, who doesn't like nice things? But, you know, ask the Pittsburgh Pirates fans how they feel. You ask if they'd be willing to switch places with the Guardians and what they've been able to put out, you know, year after year, you know, of success. And there's varying great, you know, levels of success, right? And you define it however you want to define it. But, you know, this is just, I think you said it earlier, right? Like, this is how this organization does business. And they do business really well. Is it to the extent of, you know, what the Yankees do or the Dodgers do? Absolutely not. But there are reasons for that, right? Like, would I like to, you know, trade Kwan or some of these other pieces? Absolutely not. But, you know, but this is the way this organization, you know, remains competitive and remains giving themselves a chance to win, right? And that's all I can ask for. So thanks for the time as always, guys.
Yeah,
thank you. And then what? The Yankees last time? Well, the last time they won was 2000. Is that right? I think that's right.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's 2000 was the last time because you lose last year to the Dodgers. So
2009.
Oh, 2009. That's right.
A voice
yeah,
from right. Above.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know why I was. I forgot about Phillies. Oh, Charlie was in that World Series. Oh, I forgot about that. All right, let's take. What we got here? I'll take one more quick one. Greg in North Canton.
Hi, Greg.
Okay, first of all, you talk about pre-arbitration deals. That concept's gone unless you're willing to pay Bobby Witt and Jackson Chourio money.
And secondly, Jackson Chourio got his before he ever played in the majors, didn't he, Greg?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think you better look at this way, looking at Stephen Kwan and looking at his statistics. He's now 17th in RBIs among left fielders. He's 20th in home runs. He's 15th in stolen bases. Outside of batting average, that's about what he does. Defensively, believe it or not, he's actually committed the same amount of errors this year than he has his whole career. So is he trending downward? And that's what we got to think about. And he's perfect for guards ball, but I think the game is going back to the 90s where you need to have power at the corners. And I don't know, unless you can move him to center, is he a guy that you're going to
Oh, you sound just like Jeff. Here's my question. Do you think he'll struggle on another team if they trade him?
I think he won't. I think he will because, well, I don't know if you'll know it, because if he goes to Toronto, he's going to score a ton of runs. Just depends on where he ends up. Mm. And you know, and just like Josh Naylor, I mean, he didn't put 30 home runs up in Arizona. Eventually, you run out of home runs to hit, and you run out of chances to score. I don't know how well he fits on this team outside of Manzardo and Jose being the only two guys that can drive in a run.
Greg, you're reflecting. You sound like a reflection of what Andy and I were talking about earlier. Maybe the reason he's involved in all these talks, and again, who knows if he is or if it's just being reported. I would assume that there's something to it. Otherwise, it's just not all out there. Maybe the organization is trying to shift its philosophy. You know, and you might have just nailed it. You know, we talked about it earlier. I think Kwan would be interesting in center field. Some folks think he might not have the arm for it, and he has an arm for a left fielder. Well, if that's the case, do you want a left fielder without any pop on a team that doesn't have any pop?
It's a good question.
And maybe it's a philosophical shift. I don't know the answer to that. We might know by 6 o'clock tonight.
All right, so here's the deal. We are ready for anything that happens when it comes to Major League Baseball, especially with the trade deadline. We have our ear to the ground on what's happening with Stephen Kwan. If there is any news, you know you're going to hear it here first on 92.3 The Fan. We will have you taken care of, and we'll be talking about it with you throughout the day. 216-474-0092. You want to be locked in, not only for us, but for Afternoon Drive and then tonight, too, on overtime. Let's come back. We'll talk to Daryl Ryder. We'll get into the Browns and see what's cooking out there in Berea. They have the day off, but Daryl's got all the scoop on the Browns. We'll do that. Plus, we've got, again, waiting to hear anything in the Major League Baseball trade deadline talks.